or any other matter that we will be dealing with that impacts on the department and him as the acting DG. I wanted to raise this concern for honorable members to note, and it's a concern that I thought that he really is very, very busy, but last week he was able to spend the whole day with a select committee on public accounts while it was dealing with Sandral issues. This is a very important bill that at any one time he should have been here to can be able to guide his team that is here. And I just felt that I should raise this matter with the members of the portfolio committee that I have outright indicated that I don't need any further communique from the acting DG because his communique is a standing communique which actually indicates his unavailability to attend to this meeting. Having said that, welcome honorable members, welcome the department. Today we will be dealing with just a few things. Last week we requested the department to go just like that, other week and that other time to say go and look into this clause, go and look into this proposal that we're putting forward as the portfolio committee. And we hope that we definitely will not be able to waste much time with respect to what we requested the department to go and do. This will be the final deliberations, I assume, of the National Transport Bill. But I'm saying to Mr. Patel, apparently you acting on behalf of Mr. Mukonyama. Convey my message to Mr. Mukonyama to say, as a chairperson of this portfolio committee, I'm not at all impressed. Because we could have long finalized this bill if he was leading the pack to can be able to deal with these matters. But for the fact that he has disengaged, we keep on going, throwing backwards and forward, and that is not how this portfolio committee operates. Honorable Mpanza.
No, thanks, Chair. No, Chair, I think I hear your concern, but we can't just leave it like that and say, let's note it. And then we leave it in the hands of the Honorable official who's leading the team. I think, Chair, we must find a way. About that, Chair. But I'm saying that we need to find a way of summoning him through the minister. We must convey that to the minister and say, this is the problem we're having, and if the minister can ensure that at least the acting DG comes. Because if you ask someone who is just to convey the message, I think he will keep on doing this. And I think we need to escalate it to a higher level. So please engage with the minister, raise our concern, and ask the minister to ensure that he comes and attend our meeting.
Thank you very much. That's one aspect that I forgot to raise here in the portfolio committee, that I have already written the letter to raise this concern with the minister so that we can be able to know how do we handle the processes going forward. Mr. Mukonyama is the head of public transport. He can allow and disengage from this very important bill. We were dealing with ARTO. Mr. Tlabisa was always and every day with us here. At some stages he was acting, but he never disengaged because he knew that this is his responsibility. Beyond acting as a DG, he still has to go back to public transport where he has now disengaged and doing nothing. I just wanted to say I have already written a letter, but I had not as yet sent it to the minister because I felt I should raise this matter here with the portfolio committee before I do that. Honorable Ramatlakane.
No, Chair, I agree, and I don't want to waste also a lot of time on that issue. However, I wanted to raise one issue which is somehow concerning to me. We as Parliament and members of Parliament and the Portfolio Committee, well, of course, we have the responsibility to discharge that responsibility. We hold officials accountable through the engagement here. But there seems to be some campaign that is beginning to emerge from those who call themselves interested parties, who come to the Portfolio Committee with sometimes with the entities who are having some campaigns of flooding our messages, our phones with messages on what they think they don't like. It seems to me that some of them have taken a position to be or co-governing or co-managing the affairs of a parastatal in particular. So I just want to say, Chair, much as we can receive as hundreds and hundreds of those SMSs, which you can see is a planned SMSs from some kind of a meeting that has taken place to send SMSs to members who have views around some of those issues. It's not going to deter. It's not going to be any... They're not going to do anything in stopping us engaging with parastata. And here I'm referring particularly to PRASA engagement. There seems to be some growing messaging campaign that either targeted to some members of the committee here by some bodies who are not necessarily in management of PRASA, or they call themselves, I don't know what they call them, I don't want to give them the name, but they know themselves. That is not going to stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. I just thought I should say it because I keep receiving some of those messages. I keep receiving messages that probably we are asking wrong questions. There is no wrong questions. We ask all the questions that we think are correct in terms of parastatal that accounts to this Portfolio Committee. And it will continue. In fact, it will intensify. Not only continue, it will intensify in terms of scratching in those critical areas that we need to critical. For the record, there is going to be committee investigation in PRASA. We are going to get deeper and deeper on the issues. So sending messages, keep sending messages, is not going to deter us from doing that. But I wanted to raise it formally here.
Thank you, Honorable Ramatlakane. As you have put it, it doesn't need any additions or subtractions. As it is, committees will never be intimidated by any. We will do our work without fear or favor. And as we execute our work, which the public has said we must come and represent them we will not shy away from facing what is real in the interest of the public of the Republic of South Africa. We are not management, but we will hold management accountable in this regard. So I know that the honorable members will not talk to this matter, and I know that several members have received intimidating WhatsApp messages, intimidating emails. We will continue. They can just come as many as they can, but we will not stop doing our work. Honorable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. I haven't received an SMS, but if you're saying, or a message, if you're saying that members are being intimidated, that's illegal. And I would like to suggest, we're obviously not here, that the members concerned approach you, and I think we should take some action. If at this stage, at this early stage, when an inquiry hasn't even started, they are trying to intimidate us. And it's very illegal. And also I want to thank Honorable Ramakrishna Kharada for having the courage to bring up the issue. Thank you.
It says, dear Mama Magadzi, chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, the United Commuters Voice chairperson, and we as commuters are deeply saddened by the news that you communicated with the BRASA board. That was when we had a meeting with BRASA board, and we checked as to the what is happening in the Western Cape. You communicated with the BRASA board to reinstate the former Western Cape regional manager, Mr. Richard Walker, to the regional offices. Mr. Walker has dismally failed us in serving trains, as we have observed, when Central Line was closed. Having him and his friends picket in your office will not do justice or bring back any service delivery. That's lost jobs by thousands, robberies, nepotism, to mention but a few. That he has failed us. Also, the involvement of BRASA board in summoning the acting group CEO to bring Mr. Walker back seems an interference in operations, which our president in 2018 SONA confirmed that this is wrong. We will forward to all organizations that has welcomed the suspension of Mr. Walker. We really request you to reverse the decision of bringing Mr. Walker back to our regional offices until you meet all relevant parties, that is UCV, SANCO, United Behind, COSAS, SASCO, HOKA, CPF, SATAU, UNTU, etc. Thank you. It's easy to the ANC, to BRASA board, and everybody. And I don't know how me, as a chairperson of Portfolio Committee, can intervene in operational matters of making sure that Mr. Walker goes to work. I'm not a functionary of BRASA. I'm a public representative. And when things are not done right, we've got the right to ask. We ask a professor the reasons why human resource management and human resource development in BRASA is not going according to book immediately after the meeting I received this. And I felt that I will handle it my own way. I've already submitted this to the police to say, in the eventuality anything happens to me, they should know that I have received this. I have already submitted it to the police. And I will not be intimidated doing my work. I will do it without fear or favor. So basically, other members have received SMSs, which is not like me, because I have reinstated Mr. Walker. Who am I? I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. I'm not the group CEO. I'm not the interim board of BRASA, but I'll ask the pertinent questions if it comes to issues that we appropriate budget for them to be able to use. Maybe we should leave it at that. Honorables, if it so pleases you, Honorable De Freitas.
Chair, I think you did the right step, and I would encourage the other members to do the same thing, but I think we should... either individuals or the committee should formally write to the speaker about this, because this is happening to a portfolio committee, members in a portfolio committee. So you're quite right, I think, that to advise the police, but certainly I think we should advise Parliament officially. This is highly irregular. This is an open Parliament, People's Parliament, where civil action and participation is encouraged. Intimidation doesn't qualify as civic participation and interest. And it's unacceptable. And for people to even put their organization's names on there I think is even more concerning. How arrogant can you be? It's highly illegal, and I thank you, Chair, for having the courage, but I would like to suggest, I'm not one of the members that have received an SMS, but I feel very strongly that we should formally write to the Speaker advising her of this. You know, I don't know what the process would be, but certainly we should advise the Speaker. Thank you.
Honourable Sibanda?
Chairperson, Sawana.
Honourable Mpanza, you follow.
Sawana, Chairperson. How are you? Chairperson, let's do this. I also feel what you feel. And I know the meaning of it because of my legal experience in some of the provinces whereby some people, they can start an allegation at the end, something is happening. The message is loud and clear. We are not intimidated at all. That is the starting point. You see, coincidentally, I thought that those things we must raise the day when we deal with BRASA, because a lot of people who are part of that campaign of sending messages will come and participate in numbers so that they can get direct, not the thing which is interpreted or the thing which is audited by the media. They must get it from us. I'm not intimidated at all. We know very well that we are from different political organizations, but as we are here in Parliament, we are one team. We are talking about a portfolio committee of transport. In terms of the PFMA, well, that is defending us. In terms of the constitution of the country, it's defending us. In terms of the resolution which we are taking, because most of the resolution, before we take resolution, we are consulting the various parties where we are coming from. We are one team here. Nobody will get inside of us. I can assure you. Inside Parliament and outside Parliament, nothing will happen. And please, Chairperson, I don't want these things. Sometimes they can take us to the mood of that particular work of that particular time, of that particular day. Let's go back to Mr. Mangonyan. You see, Chairperson, I'm concerned because yesterday, I don't mean yesterday is Monday. Last week he was here. But when he's called to participate with us, it doesn't come. What do we say? The department also, they must know very well that at the beginning of the year, when they submit their program, they are having pointers. And that's why we were, in particular in BRASA, they never reached their pointers in terms of their line function. And this one is hampering our work. Very soon the parliament will adjourn. We can't leave the bill because that means that our predecessors, they must start again or whatever, the people who are coming, they must start afresh while we have done the public hearings, all the stuff and all the processes. I don't want to go, because what I've thought, Chairperson, I will propose that we continue now, but with the condition that we also request him to come, if possible, to summon him to come. But at the moment, let's proceed, because procedurally, we're supposed to chase them back to come and fetch him. So, but I propose at the moment that we will continue. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Chair, I wanted to say there's no amount of any intimidation that is going to deter us from any organization. We have allowed them, they were here with very open door policy. Now if they want to use other tricks, then I think, Chair, you are correct. You must follow the normal processes of the law. and those who are doing that, but I want to assure the committee that the decisions that we take here are our decisions, that's not your decision. So, and we stand by them, and whatever you should convey, Chair, you must convey, and it's our message, and we'll take ownership of that. But Chair, we also seeing this tendency, besides the messages sending to me, there are also media processes that are taking place there. People now are running this committee even through media. We have not done anything, we have not started even the investigation, they are preempting that thing. And I don't know whether it's a strategy to derail our work, but I think as we are saying, media or messages of threats and all those things that carry on with our work, and then we'll then take the appropriate decisions and we'll follow the parliamentary processes in that way. So, Chair, we are fully behind you. We are fully behind other members. We are together in this thing. Thank you.
Much honourable members, probably we need to proceed with the final deliberations on the Land Transport Amendment Bill B7 of 2016. Who's leading us? We had a few things outstanding, Advocate. If you can proceed.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. If you recall, during our last meeting, there was a concern raised regarding clause amendments to Section 66 and Clause 38 of the bill, which is on page 10 of the document, item number 4. The concern was in relation to penalizing the drivers of e-hailing who are using e-hailing applications if they don't have operating licenses. And the concern raised by the Honourable Member was in relation to the Ubers, to be specific. And the concern was that we can't penalize something if you don't have mechanisms in place. So in relation to that concern, we are requested to go back. The department should come, maybe provide in the transitional arrangements or the regulations, put those mechanisms in place to ensure that the Ubers are also regulated like the other meter taxes, because currently the Act doesn't regulate the e-hailing applications. So what we did, Chairperson, the department provided us with a document, and in that document we've refined it. We've provided for the applications, the opportunity for the Ubers to apply for operating licenses so that they can also be compliant with the Act. So there's a new provision under the transitional arrangements before we can even penalize them for not having their licenses. That new provision is covered under the current transitional arrangements, which are catered for in terms of this bill, which is page 12 of the document, the A list. That is provided for under 2 and 3. And I'll read sub 2, which is highlighted. An operator who uses an electronic e-hailing application must, within, I put a question mark there because the period will be determined either by the from the policy side or by the committee. So within a certain period of the commencement of this Act, apply to the relevant regulatory entity for an operating license for his or her vehicle in terms of the principal Act. And such applications must be dealt with by the regulatory entities within a reasonable time, but not exceeding ... from the date of receipt thereof. And in sub 3, the minister must prescribe the procedures for such applications and evaluation thereof, including criteria to be met or considered by the regulatory entities in dealing with such applications. So So basically, this is a transitional arrangement moving forward from the date of commencement of the Act. The people who are using e-hailing applications will be given an opportunity within a certain period to apply also so that they can become compliant with the Act. The other mechanisms which are put in place is under the current Act is Section 66, which deals with meter taxi services. I'm going to take you back to Clause 38. Clause 38 of the bill, page 9 of the document. Page 9 of the document, Clause 38, which is amendment to Clause 38. Item number 1. On page 16, after line 15, to insert the following. So we're substituting the heading of that section. Currently in the Act, it reads metered taxi services. Now we're inserting an electronic e-hailing service, because that section is going to be regulating both metered taxi services and electronic e-hailing service. Paragraph B, by the substitution in sub 1, for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. Here again, Chairperson, we're inserting the word or e-hailing at the end of that sentence. The bill also, as it stands now, on clause 38, which is page 16 of the bill, is already making an attempt to regulate the e-hailing. So the standards, the requirements, and all of those things are already covered in the bill to cater for the e-hailing service. That's basically what we've done, Chairperson. But I need to mention this before you can even deliberate. The department has got a different view in relation to what is presented under the transitional provisions. Because from our side, from the legal side, we use the document they gave to us, and then we tried to redraft, to rephrase it so that the legality of it won't be questioned. But I'm going to give them the opportunity to come in should they so wish. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Honorable members, there we are. I'll give to the department to hear their view. With respect to this that we have been going up and down, forwards and backwards around. Mr. Patel?
Thank you, Chairperson.
I need your legal team.
The legal team will also come in. Thank you, Chairperson. This matter over here, Chairperson, we've heard what was the expressions of the committee last week about if you going to end up outlawing them, how do we legalize them? And so we agree with that expressions. But we are also of the view that we need to, in the public transport services, there are many different types of public transport services, including minibus taxi type services, metered taxi type services, and other type of services that buses and that, and in many of these spaces there are illegal operators over there as well. So our view is that we should broaden the scope of that clause to enable the legalization of various public transport services, including the minibus taxi type services, so that we enable a level playing field between the different types of services. I think the minibus taxi services will be quite upset if they find out that we're only trying to legalize the electronic hailing services rather than enabling legalization of all different types of services. Even in the metered taxi services, Chairperson, there are many illegal operators, and we need to bring them in as part of this process as well. So therefore, we have crafted a clause that gives it a broader meaning. Also, that these issues about time frames are in the regulations at the moment in terms of when to apply. and when the regulatory entity must process the applications, all those type of details are already in the regulations. So therefore, we are suggesting that we should try and enable all kinds of illegal operators to be allowed to a campaign to come in to be legalized as well. I can read the clause if you so wish.
You can continue reading the clause.
Clause 49. I don't have it. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm informed the members have just been distributed this document. It's on page 11 under clause 49, and I will read the insertions as we have proposed. By the insertion of the following subsection after subsection 5, 6A, despite other provisions of this Act, the Minister may make regulations on administrative and procedural matters necessary for the legalization of persons who are operating public transport services without holding the required operating license or permit to enable them to apply for or obtain such licenses where they have been prevented from doing so by reasons beyond their control, such as the inability of government to process applications or lack of information or understanding of the relevant processes. B, the regulations contemplated in paragraph A may differ in respect of different types of public transport services or different categories of operators and may include, but shall not be limited to, 1, the imposition of a moratorium on applications for operating licenses or the issuing of such licenses for specified periods. 2, expedited or shortened procedures for such applications and the evaluation thereof. And 3, criteria that must be met or considered by the regulatory entity in order for such applicants to qualify for an operating license. So that's the insertion that we are proposing.
Honorable members,
there we go. There's a new insertion, which is massive. Honorable Ramatakana, Honorable Mpanza. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for both the state law advisors' explanation and the department. Chair, we've got two versions. But the version that we've just heard from the department, the kind of longish version, I kind of like it. This is in a summarized version. I kind of like it because it gives a little bit of contextual things in terms of what the current situation is. Now, I don't know, maybe, because there's two presentations. The state law advisor said in her parting shot that they have received this, but then they redrafted it to meet the legal requirement. I think that's, if I'm paraphrasing what she almost said. Now, I don't know, maybe she can explain to what an extent that this departmental draft injured the suggestion that she is making. Because I think this one is more elaborative in terms of, and it gives a context, than the shorter version, which the lawyers will always prefer. They will all prefer to have a shorter version rather than us wanting a longer version. Maybe if she can explain, but I think that more or less they are saying more or less the same thing. But the other one, I like this one because it's accommodating other people that we're not talking about, that we still due to meet them because they have been requested to meet, requested to have that discussion. So I as I said, Chair, I kind of like this elaborated one. But Mr. Patel, sir, in drafting this, you must have had in mind the Principal Act. You must have had in mind the Principal Act, the enabling mechanism of the Principal Act to allowability of the e-hailing licenses, permit or permit. Because the word you are using is the word that is used normal in terms of a meter or the minibus. So I don't know to what an extent this will be in tandem with the Principal Act insofar as a permit, operating permit is concerned. Remembering that operating permit is A to B. And here there is a little bit of a departure. You do speak about the categories. It will be the regulations will differ from the category to category. I like that, but did you have a look at the provision in the Principal Act, whether this is going to be aligned to that, particularly when the authorities, remember the people who are going to give licenses at the lower level, where the people applying for permit, and if the current Principal Act does not allow the person who sits there to think out of the box, they were going to say to you, in terms of a plan, a transport plan, which space are you going to operate on? Because remember, this one is individualized. This kind of Uber thing, electronic thing, is more kind of individualized because it's activated by a request. So what is this mechanism that you are creating in terms of that? Maybe you can help me to understand it. But I like this thing, but it might not work if the Principal Act does not enable it to work, if you understand what I'm saying. Because what's the point if you say you're going to give a person license, operating permit, but the rules which that person must comply with is already prohibitive, in a sense that there is no A, there's no B. You understand what I'm saying? So that's really what I'm trying to understand from you. Because if there isn't mechanism that enables, maybe we might have to say, as the committee, what you do with the Principal Act, you bring in elasticity around it in terms of trying to make it more clearer that people must not be refused because they have not specified the form at the moment. We'll say to you, what is your A point and what is your B point? And how do you get to those B point? What rules are you using? So that kind of things that you can help us with, maybe it will help us to speed up the process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mpansa.
Yeah, Chair, thanks very much. To me, Chair, what is clear in terms of what I hear, it's two versions. The other one is brought from the department, which is also including the minibuses, and the one from the state law advisors. It's more focusing on the meter taxes and the Uber. I don't see it as an executive summary of the other. I just see this other one is specific to the particular mode of transport, and this other one is specific to that mode of transport, but it then goes beyond that and includes the other mode of transport. Now, Chair, I think what is being raised by Ukombrete, Honorable Leonard, is that can you do that in terms of the Principal Act? Can you go and then expand it and then include the minibuses? Because for me, I think it would be good when we regulate every mode of transport that is operating in that space. You don't just lose, it's an opportunity for us to deal with that. So I like the department one, which is all inclusive. But now the question is that, based on the principal, can we do that? And what is the difference between the department and the state law advisors? What is this issue that is making them not to find a middle ground? Because I would want a situation where maybe there is a middle ground, and not on the basis of whether it's legal or not legal. I think let's not confine ourselves on the legalities. Let's confine ourselves in the intention of actually regulating this industry that we are operating in. So for me, if the difference is that one, they say stick to this one, and the other one say let's go broad and be inclusive, then I think let's then debate it, and that the processes that we are involved in as we are amending allows us or not. So that's what, for me, Chair, would be something that will assist us to make an informed decision. Thank you.
Honorable Sibanda, advocate, you come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'll try not to be long because some of the issues they've also touched, but only to emphasize. You see, my problem, Chairperson, is that most of the time, I'm scared when we take a decision where it's going to be challenges court. Because our legal experience is that some of the court cases, we're losing them because of our system, they don't talk to each other. But in this regard, I'll be happy if our laws can be able to speak to each other, like on what was raised by our colleagues, that we must, referring to the Principal Act, so that we're able to close each and every loophole. But our regulations, it's true, they must be inclusive. If our regulations are inclusive, therefore we can be able to achieve a goal. And then also, that's it, that our regulations must be inclusive. And then for us at the moment is to see both presentation from the both state law advisors, that how to integrate them so that they can able to speak to the Principal Act. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Nolitando.
Chairperson? This is not just about, if I can start by saying, it's not just about who is right and wrong or which version is correct or not. What is important is to present a document which is capable of implementation, and at the same time, it must also be legally sound. That's what you need to guard against. What happened, Chairperson, is that we didn't have an opportunity to actually deliberate on the documents. We couldn't get that opportunity. I would assume if we had that opportunity, we could have resolved this amongst ourselves, but it's neither here nor there. The challenge, Chairperson, I'm having with the document that was presented to us as legal, it's covering all aspects. It's covering minibuses, it's covering meter taxis, and everyone else. But the understanding we had when we were here last week, the concern was in relation to the regulation of the e-hailing service. And in that regard, it was requested that there must be mechanisms in place before we can penalize them for not having the operating licenses. So we had that in mind when we refined that document. We did not have the other explanation like they're saying now, that there's existing, it's not just Ubers, there are also other places which are affected. But if I may respond to that, Chairperson, what is happening now, the intention is to regulate Uber, those kind of operations. The minibus, the meter taxi, and all other services are already regulated by the Act. And the Act is clear in Section 50 that no one may operate a road-based public transport without operating license. So that on its own is a mechanism which is already put for them to operate. It's been going for years. This is not the first time. What was introduced by the bill is the e-hailing. That was the new thing. Hence, we've limited it to e-hailing service. That's the reason why there is a difference. If we were to move and use what is presented now by the department, the department, what is seeking to do now is trying to legalize something that is already in existence, that is failing, to try to legalize that in terms of the regulations. How do you do that? Because the parliament is required to make laws and be clear in their laws. And they've already done so in terms of the Act to say everyone who's operating, who's using road-based must apply and must get licenses. But there seem to be challenges in getting those licenses from what I can get from the presentation. There are challenges in getting those licenses from the regulatory entity, which is something else. That's one. The other thing, Chairperson, if we were to use this, we can't put it in the transitional provision to the Act, because the amendment now is to Section 93 of the Act, which is dealing with transitional provision, talking to the transitional provision at the time when the Act was enacted in 2009. The transitional provision are for the purposes of this bill. As a result of this bill, these are the consequences. Hence, we've shifted it and put it under transitional provision to the bill now when it becomes law. I'm not sure if I'm clear enough, Chess, but that's basically the reasoning behind that we're willing to work with the department and present a working bill document, but it must be also legally enforceable. Thanks, Chair.
You will follow, sir.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members. Chair, I just want to emphasize what the state law advisor is saying. Chair, first of all, the point of departure is where this provision is based. This is a transitional provision, meaning that we are transiting from the existing position to the position when we introduce the Act. Currently, as Bondo was saying, the other minibus taxis and what are regulated in terms of the Act. We only put in the transitional provision something that was not regulated before, but now we want to regulate that thing in the new amendment. But because there is a gap now between moving from the existing position to the position when the Act is amended and that amendment is in force, therefore, we would say we would only regulate for e-hailing. Hence the difference between us and the department. And I would advise the committee to really not have that provision in the transitional arrangement, because our understanding is that the Act already regulates the operating licenses of minibuses and other transport services. And what now the department is asking the parliament to regulate is the failure to implement the existing legislation, which is something that parliament cannot do in legislation. We cannot now legislate for something that is being legislated on because the department has failed to enforce their own Act. Thank you, Chair.
You see, the reason why I was saying the head of this unit is supposed to be here is precisely this. Because we're pushing ourselves from pillar to post, because you are rudderless as a department. You are headless as a department. We cannot operate like that. Because here, before I come to you, Honorable Ramatlakana and you, sir, at the center is the question, haven't we regulated the other industries? That now there's a new industry which is coming into play, that needs to be regulated. That needs to be, there must be laws that can be able to put this industry into unison with the other industries that have been operational from way back. This is the question that the state law advisor is saying, that indeed the law in terms of the taxes, emitter taxes, it is there. We're now infusing into that law issues of e-hailing. There will be other new things that comes into be in terms of public transport. We still have to come back again and keep on regulating. Your failure is not our failure. Put it bluntly like that. You failed. We should not be seen to be part of the failure. Honorable Ramatlakana, and then once he speaks, you can be able to do an all-encompassing.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. Yeah, no, I think that, Chair, but maybe the first starting point, may I say that we are busy with the Land Transport Act Amendment. And as a committee, we do have the right to amend the law, even the area that are not identified by the department. That's a right that sits within us here. So the debate that started previously is a debate that started identifying the gaps in what was presented, that which what was presented is not workable. We could have kept quiet, knowing that it's not workable, but we chose not to keep quiet because we know it's not workable. Like I'm asking now, this provision, it has to be read with the Principal Act, because if it does not, in the Principal Act, that playing field is not level. In there, there's no mechanism put in that legislation to be able to enable this to operate. It is going to be a provision in the Act which is not going to be realized. So you can make a good law, you can also make a bad law. So if we go down this road and we don't make a provision in the Principal Act to accommodate, to deal with this issue about e-hailing, it will be a bad law. Because you will say you're doing it, but you're not going to do it. Not unachievable. So the question for me is, how do we make this workable? How do we achieve these two things? And that's why I was asking the question of the Principal Act. Have you looked at it? How are we going to be able to make it? Because if you take it like this to municipality, and they're going to not give anybody travel license, can beg you, because of the provision that confines them to how they consider licenses or operating permits. So legal advisors, both Parliament and state law advisor, help us. I know that you have not had the opportunity to discuss this question, but the rigidness is not going to help us. We can dig trenches, get into a trenches, legal trenches. It's not going to help us to come out with a good law at the end of the day. I don't mind where you put this provision. Not necessarily in transition. I don't mind. You know, you can put it into an appropriate section in the Act, in the Principal Act. The fact of the matter is, the truth is, even if this matter has not been raised by the department today, it is a vexing question currently in the environment where they operate. So it's better to raise it and deal with it now, Honorable Chair, or they'll come back later with the crisis in our hand, where you already begin to say there is inconsistency. The law is inconsistent in terms of this, and then dealing with it on our back foot. So for me, I would, if both the department, the lawyers, and the state law advisor and Parliament were to be given opportunity, they would be advising us better, if they had an opportunity even to meet, but seems to be a difficulty to meet. So they talk with the subcontracting document, the email, other emails, others amend the email without understanding where does this one come from. why this provision? I don't know why all of you work for the state, but all of you can't meet. You don't have time to meet working for one government. Yeah? It's very strange. I mean, now we're dealing with that question here. Because of the, I don't know, I don't want to go to a point, Honorable Chair, about the acting Director General, because this is his field. Actually, the law we are amending is his law. The law that we can't implement today that has got those challenges, it's his. But he's not here to help us grapple with a solution. Now, I envy you, Dr. Patel, where you are sitting. You are sitting where you are sitting now. But, Chair, let me end by saying, I really would not split hair, if you like, Noltan. There is a failure. So should we now just dance over that, or should we say, let's now go back and do it? How long will it take for you to come to an agreement without losing your first provision around the transitional arrangement, which is a good one, and also be bringing some elasticity in this by bringing these failures in some way into the law? Currently, the failures lead to impoundment. An impoundment of this means losing assets. That's what is happening. Some of those people who lose their taxes, they get impounded, they don't get it forever. And they invest money in buying them, and they end the very same government that says we're promoting small business participation. They end up with nothing. I don't know, Chair, I don't know, I'm not probably making much of sense, but I'm trying to appeal to all the lawyers in the room as to how can we overcome this challenge. All of us get out of the trenches, let's find a solution. It is good that we don't have a specific target group with a treatment that may be looked in the naked eye as favoritism versus those that are already in the field that will say, now we are the one that are being treated this way, and while this one are being treated this way, and then whole lot of debate and say, but this one are treated this because they don't come from South Africa, this e-hailing thing is an international thing that comes here, now you're buggling under pressure of international. I think let's just find the middle road. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. There is a proposal that probably between the department, the state law advisor, and the legal advisor from Parliament, that you sit and iron out the differences. Can we give you 45 minutes to do that? We will be proceeding with our agenda. And then after 45 minutes, probably we should be able to take you back. Will that be, I'm trying to have a middle of the road here, will that be okay? 45 minutes will be fine. Okay? Aburkhwa. Okay, the state law advisor will leave, will remain because we're dealing with another bill. Noltando, you will remain here. Bongiwe, with Team National Land Transport Bill Department, Zamaya. YTN, your team. Le lona le tlile le sena tlhogo o ka e tlhabisa tla le tlo nnang mo ke le bone ba re ka sepedi ba re ditaba di bose di tswa matlhong tlosa here.
Honorable members, I think whilst the